How y'all doing? Boy, that was a mixed response if I ever heard one. Actually, I didn't hear it, but that's okay. Oh, I tell you, it's good to be back here preaching the word to you. And I know that you enjoyed last week. The youth did the service, and Danielle Vellacott, she spoke with confidence, I understand. And I'm glad that she was able to do that. We're going to go to prayer, and there's some things that we've been praying for. We've been praying for Brian Kent, and he is currently on a double dose of antibiotics, and he's confined to keeping his foot up, and they're hoping that things will look better for his toe. He has diabetes, for those of you who don't know, so to have an affected toe is a major thing, so we need to keep praying for Brian. As well, Marilyn King, she is now at home, and she's slowly regaining her strength, and she still has some fluid retention, but she is doing better. And so we've been praying for her. She went through heart surgery a couple weeks ago, and so it's good news that she's home. So let's just pray, shall we? Father God, we come to rejoice in you. You are our Lord, and you are our King. We have sung songs, Lord, which have spoken about you and our relationship with you. God, we want you more than anything to reign in our hearts. And so this morning as we come and we pray to you, we first of all acknowledge that, Lord, we want you to reign right here, right within us. Create in us, Lord, that spirit that you have called us to love and adore, and that's the spirit that you've given, your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we pray for your living presence to be among us. Fall upon us as your people this morning. Father, we rejoice that Marilyn King is at home and she's slowly regaining her strength. Lord, we continue to pray that you would give her health and, Lord, that you would give her encouragement. Be with Quindle, her husband, and may he be encouraged as well as Marilyn continues to recover. And same for Brian Kent, Lord, we pray for his toe especially. Lord, that you would intervene on his behalf and give to the doctors wisdom as they continue to treat him. And Lord, may this infection just clear up very quickly for him so that he can regain back his strength and be on his feet again. Lord, we pray for him and for Rose as well. And Father, those needs among us as a church family, we've listed them, Lord, in our bulletin, and you know everyone. And Father, we commit each one to you. And Father, we pray that you'd give strength and healing where it's required. Lord, whether that be spiritually or whether that be emotionally or whether that be physically, God, may your will be done. And we pray for each of their family members, Lord, that you'd be very close to them and very real to them as they are caregivers to their loved one who's not well. And so, Father, we pray for them. Lift them high to you. And you know each one of them, Lord, each one of that we pray for regularly. And so, Father, we pray for them, as well for those who are grieving. And, Lord, we think of the Daschuk and Mabrina and Scarf families on the passing of their uncle and brother, Max. And, Lord, we pray for your comfort upon them. We pray, Lord, that we would be your arms of comfort to them. And, Father, we pray that they would know that you're a God who does comfort and be very close to this family, these families that are grieving at this moment in this time. And Lord, for us as a church, we pray that we would continue to walk in obedience to you. May we not waver, Lord. May we not waver and get caught up in ministry and serving you that we forget who you are. And so, Father, we pray that we would be always obedient to you, God. You're our Lord, Lord of our life and Lord of this church. And to you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Well, how good it is to be in the Lord's house this morning. Amen? You know, next week I'm excited because it's our mission conference, and you will want to make sure that you block out those few days, 4th, 5th, and the 6th, next Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. You will want to be here because I know the speaker, actually, Rick Opperly, who's going to be speaking, and Rick is a good friend of mine. I don't know if he'll admit that or not, but it'll be great to have Rick here and speaking to us about what God is doing in as far as faith goes in our country called Canada. Rick is a pastor and a servant, and so you won't want to miss next week. Make sure you're here. Bring a friend along, and if you can cook, or if you can house somebody, I know you want to get in touch with those who are setting us all up with Ed. Right, Ed? Right. Good. Great. Yeah, they put a lot of work into this, so I'm encouraged. Looking forward to it. We have just finished a series on trusting God. And we're now looking at different questions that come up, different principles of life that that we often maybe question in our own life or maybe in somebody else's. And so we're going to start looking this morning at a change. See, I want to remind you of this little prayer that somebody prayed one morning. So far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. And I'm really glad about that, God. But in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. We all understand that, don't we? We may lay in bed in the morning and make our wonderful plan on how well we're going to behave that day. But somehow or another, it just seems like it never works out the way we intend. And that's why I think it's important for us to look at how can I change? How many of you want to see change in yourself or in your circumstances? Or yeah, I didn't see every hand up. I guess some of you don't care. If you're too tired to lift your hand, we'll pray for you or do something. I don't know. How can I change? I want to change. But how can I change? I'd like you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Great passage that Mr. George Block, my professor, had me memorize, and I could never figure out why till today. That's not true. It's a great passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to start by looking at verse 1 and 2. Actually, that's all we're going to look at today. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. I want you to repeat after me. Say this. No, but you people are sharp. Well, do you guys want to preach this? While I'm not where I need to be, I praise God, I'm not where I used to be. He leads me on my way so that I know I'm okay. Wow. Okay. Now we can stop repeating. I hope that by the end of this message this morning that you guys are preaching, obviously, that you will believe that by the time you get out of here. That you know that God is walking with you. Change. Change. How can I change? How can I change? First of all, you change by transforming properly. Transforming properly. If you look at verse 2 of Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. transformed. Wow. Paul pens these words of the Lord, and he explains that we can change. But first of all, we have to make our mind up that we're not going to conform to this world. In other words, you cannot be living after worldly standards, doing what everybody in the world wants you to do, trying to be what everybody in the world wants you to be. First of all, you need to make a decision that you're not going to be conformed. That you're not going to let everybody else just draw a tiny little box and then try to put you in there, cram you into it. And I like that this is attached to verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer. Wow. What's my spiritual act of worship that is transforming properly is my spiritual act of worship. Then you'll be able to test. You'll be able to approve what God's will is. His good and His pleasing and His perfect will. You see, God has a plan for your life. And it's a perfect plan. You can't even do the plan that He's laid out for you because you can't do it without Him. That's part of transforming. Understanding that God is leading you on the perfect way. You may not like the journey that you walk through. You may be questioning, why do I have to walk through this? Why am I going through this right now? But God is walking with you through it because His plan is perfect. You see, God, He will never be able to make out of you what He wants to make out of you if you're going to let people control you and manipulate you. I like what Roseanne Cash said. She said, the key to change is to let go of fear. It's quite different from Robert Gallagher, who said change is inevitable, except from a vending machine. You know that's true. John Simone Sr. said, if you're in a bad situation, don't worry, it'll change. But he also said, if you're in a good situation, don't worry, it'll change. We're always changing. And I believe that we need to be delivered from the fear of man before we can ever walk in the will of God. That doesn't mean that I need to be rude and obnoxious to other people. Actually, it means quite the opposite. I need to look at others through God-given eyes, but when it comes right down to it, there are those times where I cannot please God and people, and if that's the case, I better go with God. Oh, you said the right answer. See, you could preach today. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. The word transformed is a word like metamorphosis. It's a huge word. Metamorphosis. Say that with me. Metamorphosis. Now, you didn't say it like I did. I had a little bit more of a pff in there. But it means completely and totally changed. And I can remember as a kid, it wasn't that long ago, I can remember that my brothers, they said, come on outside, Dave, you got to see this. And on the back side of this branch was this little white kind of ball of fur. And I looked at that thing and I thought, what is that? So I asked my brother, my older, wiser brothers, what is that? And they said, it's a cocoon. Wow, that's a cocoon, my first cocoon. And so I grabbed a stick and I was ready to, my brother went, no, you don't touch a cocoon. He said, that's a worm. The worm spun that little house. And it's going to change into a butterfly. And I watched that thing. And you know what? It did. How many of you know that really the worm and the butterfly are nothing alike? They aren't. I mean, how can you look at a butterfly and say, well, that used to be a caterpillar? I mean, there's no correlation there at all. It doesn't look the same. And so you think about that Here we read, the words say that we can be entirely changed, completely changed, totally transformed, either by the world or by God. Let me explain. Life is more exciting, it's more enjoyable, it's more worth living when we are transformed into the holy, pleasing, spiritual acts of worship that God desires. One of the things that I can remember that I always got in trouble with was this thing. I know it's hard for you to believe, this mouth of mine got me into trouble. In fact, when I was a little kid, and I just hear tell tales of this, that when I was a little kid, my mother used to say that I would sit in the kitchen and I'd just, Mom, why this? Mom, why that? Mom, why are you doing that? Mom, why? Blah, blah, blah. So my mom actually took me to a doctor. And the doctor said, well, it's very easy to cure this. He said, you just give him some Ritalin. So my mom then said, apparently, this is what I did, is I would sit in the kitchen like this. My mom would say, how are you doing? You okay over there? So she didn't give me the Ritalin anymore. Can you tell? And my brother, in fact, he was just telling me this last week. He said, I remember, he said, Dev, when you just, your mouth would get us into all kinds of trouble. Because we'd do something. You know, we would go out and we'd, you know, we found a piece, a big, huge, we were building a fort, and we found a huge piece of plywood. It was gigantic. It was huge. You know, it was in our neighbor's yard. And, you know, it was, so we hauled it over to build our fort, and, you know, I was so excited. My brother said, shh, and we're telling you, this is secret. This is our secret fort. This is our secret place. This is where, you know, certain people can belong to the club. And, oh, okay. And I was all, yeah, okay. And I walk into the house, and we're sitting down having supper, and I said to my mom and to my dad, I said, guess what? We got this big piece of plywood from the neighbors next door. We built this fort. I don't know why, but we had to take that piece of plywood back to the neighbors. I never understand that one. Or, for instance, another time my brother was reminding me of this. He said he put all these fries in the stove to cook. He should have put them on a plate or a tray. But he put them all inside the oven, and my mom and dad were away, and all of a sudden there was a little fire. But boy, I could hardly wait to tell the news when mom and dad walked in the door. Yeah, Darcy started a big fire. It was him. My brothers used to say to me, Dev, you talk way too much. You say too much. Keep your mouth shut. Some Sundays you people would like to say that too. But I understood that usually your strongest gift is also usually your biggest weakness. So I'd make a plan. And I'd do this even in university or college. And I'd say to myself, well, that's it. Because, I mean, I was always getting into trouble somehow with my mouth. Tomorrow I'm keeping my mouth shut. I won't get into trouble with my mouth tomorrow because I won't say anything. And if you don't say anything, can't get into any trouble, right? I mean, if you don't say anything, you can't get into trouble. Because the flesh only operates in extremes. It goes from this extreme to that extreme to that extreme to that extreme. And neither one of those work. What God wants is balance. And he didn't want me to talk too much, but he didn't want me to keep my mouth shut and never say anything, and he just wanted me to flow and function with my personality and be who I was created to be, but with self-control and with sensitivity toward people and not say things that'll hurt them or not dominate it and control the conversation, but have balance. And so I'd make a plan. See, I won't get into trouble tomorrow because I'm not going to say anything. And I would get up the next morning, and I wouldn't say anything. Now, my mother is very good at asking questions. And so she would start that particular day off with, well, the right questions. And I would respond with, uh-huh, or uh-uh. I mean, I would be called blabbermouth the rest of the time, and then I would be asked, when I would make my plan, I'd be asked, what's the matter with you? What's going on with you? What? Why are you mad? What happened to you? You see, Mother was very good at asking the right questions. And I wasn't mad, and I wasn't trying to do what I thought. I was trying to do what I thought God really wanted me to do, and that was watch my tongue. So I was trying to be good. I was trying. And it never worked. Because I became depressed. Because the more I didn't talk, the more depressed I got. And I sure didn't understand why I felt this way. And it didn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, I was trying to do the best thing I wanted and keep my mouth shut. And I was getting depressed. And then what a wonderful day God showed me, that you're keeping your mouth shut, but you're not doing anything on the inside, Deaf. See, that's the difference between conforming and transforming. I was trying to conform myself to what I thought people would really like. But God wanted to transform me inside out. See, when that caterpillar becomes a butterfly, it doesn't look like a butterfly on the outside and is still a caterpillar inside. I don't know what happens in that cocoon, in the metamorphosis part, and obviously it's not our business because God does it in a private way. See, while I'm not where I need to be, I praise God that I'm not where I used to be. Because I know He's leading me. And with that, I know I'm okay. Well, how can I change? By transforming properly and by thinking properly. You knew I was going to get to this. Do not conform, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. It can be entirely changed, completely changed, totally transformed by the entire renewal of our mind. I mean, God just doesn't want to change you a little bit. He wants to change you to the point where you won't even recognize who you are. Now, that doesn't mean He wants to destroy your personality, but He wants to change us. He wants to make us totally and completely different. And the Bible explains that you're changed completely by the entire renewal of your mind. Well, you've got to learn how to see yourself differently. You've got to learn how to see your past differently. You've got to see people differently. See your future differently. There are a lot of things that we've got to learn to think differently about. But the one thing that we have to change our mind about is how we're going to change. See, when I thought my mouth was getting me in lots of trouble, who made the plan? Who planned not to talk? Me. Did it work? No. Not until God got a hold of me and worked on the inside, but I had to let Him in here to do the changing. See, change doesn't come through struggle, through effort. I don't mean by that we don't make any effort to change, but you have to understand, change doesn't come through your efforts. It doesn't come through trying. You know, I'm trying to change. You know, I'm trying to change. It doesn't come through frustration. It doesn't come through self-hatred and self-rejection and guilt. Guilt won't change you. Condemnation doesn't change a person. Works of the flesh won't change you. There may be some of you here today. You're struggling with this very thing. I've got to change. Trying to change. How many of you struggle with yourself? Don't put your hands up. How many of you struggle with yourself? Can you find one scripture in the Bible anywhere that God commands that you're to struggle with yourself? caterpillar. Whatever happens to that caterpillar is completely in private, and he's completely changed, totally transformed. But I believe it is something that starts on the inside of that caterpillar. I think he starts to think. He gets uncomfortable. Just being a caterpillar. Something's happening in there, and he begins to get an idea. I don't really think I'm a caterpillar. I don't really think that I was born to be a worm. I don't know what's going on. I feel kind of weird. I feel kind of strange. You know, get in the head of a worm. Huh. I'm uncomfortable. I'm just crawling around here on the ground like I used to. Something is happening to me. You know, that's the way God starts it all. He starts dealing with you deep on the inside. And you don't even know what's going on, but you get uncomfortable. You're not happy anymore. You're not content the way you used to be. The things you used to love don't satisfy you anymore. God is calling you to be something different, something else. But it's not something you can do. It's something only God can do is change you. And the best thing you can do is you can say, I don't know what you're doing, God, but I submit to it. I surrender myself to you. Whatever you want to do, Lord, have it your way. We're in the time of Lent prior to the cross. There's no better picture of surrender than the cross. Think about that little worm. Metamorphosis starts. He crawls on the backside of a branch somewhere, spins a web around itself, so nobody knows what's going on. It's a private thing. Nobody knows. And if you watch it, you can see in that cocoon, you know, and you see it bulging, and you wonder, what's it going to happen? What? And as a kid, you want to take a stick and you just want to poke that thing because it's all squirming and moving. And then all of a sudden, this beautiful butterfly comes out. Somebody once said, if nothing ever changed, there'd be no butterflies. Heard a story about this fella. The saddest thing he did in his whole life. And he said it was tragic. He said, I saw a butterfly about to be birthed, still in the cocoon, struggling. And I wanted to help it, and so I cut the cocoon open to help it come out. And it wasn't finished. And when it came out, it was part butterfly and part worm. And it only lived a few minutes, and it fell over and it died. And he said, what a lesson I learned out of that. That's what he said. Things that only God can do, you better leave them alone and let God be God. Amen? In a very private way, God transforms each one of us differently. We get caught in thinking that others should transform the way we transform. That's no longer private. That's public. God transforms in such a way that it's nobody else's business. Even yours. But we are so good at cutting open someone else's cocoon instead of crawling on the backside of a branch and forming our own. Thinking properly means that you let God be God even in your own life. Just let him work in you the way he needs to. Don't try to speed it along. It doesn't mean, though, you don't ask people to pray for you or seek out wise counsel of other people. But you, it's a private thing. Let God transform you. We need to allow God to work in us privately so that we are completely and totally transformed, totally changed. And that happens from the inside out. I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want want you to take a moment. Maybe you've been saying to yourself, well, I've made a plan. I thought it was a good plan. I want to say to you, stop trying to do it yourself. Just believe God to change you. I mean, cooperate with God, but I'm talking about getting a whole new attitude, a mind change about who you are with God. Go to God and maybe just say to Him, you better change me. Lord, you change me. I want to change. You show me how to do it, God. You tell me what to do. You make it happen, God. And you know what happens? If God changes you, He gets the glory. You don't. Maybe this morning you need to come and you need to say, Lord, I surrender everything to you. I surrender my job. I surrender my finances. I surrender my home life. I surrender my relationships, my friendships, my schoolwork, my teachers. God, I surrender even those troubled relationships I'm having. I surrender to you. Maybe you need to say, I may not be where I need to be, but I praise you, God, I'm not where I used to be. Maybe you need to thank Him that He's walking with you along the way as He's leading you in the right way, as you're allowing Him to take you on journeys that you've never experienced before. Come to Him. Ask Him in your cocoon to make you a butterfly so you can soar. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're talking to Him that way today and say, God, change me. Change me. I need you to change me. Just lift your hand. Just lift your hand up. Lord bless you. 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 The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. He sees them all, and He's changing you from the inside out. He is changing you inside, even right now, because you've committed that to Him. Maybe you need to say, God, we're in the time of Lent. I don't even know what that means, because I never really understood that You allowed Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me, to forgive my sins, all the bad stuff I've done. Maybe you've never come to Him and said, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. I give You my life today. Come inside of me and change me. I give You my heart. I give You my heart. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're saying that to Him this morning, I give You my heart today, God. Change me. I want to be a Christian. I want the security of heaven. I want to be a believer. I believe in You, God. Just lift your head. Lift your head. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father, this morning, we know that change is inevitable. We can do it the hard way, but we'd rather do it the easy way. And that's with You. God, we can't do this. We can't change without You. Lord, I know from experience, I've tried it myself. Lord, I can't do this without You. Lord, as a church, we need You. We need You. We invite You to come and just change us as Your people. We long for You to be obedient to You. Change us, Lord, from the inside out, to be a people holy and pleasing in Your sight. And then we will know Your will, Your perfect plan for our life. God, thank You. We come and we surrender it all to You, our Lord and our King. To You be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.